Armed American Radio listeners, today's Armed American Radio's recorded version of the national radio broadcast, the Armed American Radio podcast, is being brought to you today and every day by North American Arms. Make sure to visit NorthAmericanArms.com for the finest mini revolvers on planet Earth. NorthAmericanArms.com. Enjoy the show.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Because they don't want me to, that's why I do it.
Presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance.
From the Sig Sauer Studios. On the Patriot Mobile Platinum Microphone. Here is your host, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting the enemies of freedom, Mark Walters.
And here we go, Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. It's garbage day here at the ranch. Sig Sauer Studios lit up for you. Patriot Mobile Communication and Command Center microphone fired up. X Insurance presenting it all on a Wednesday, a garbage Wednesday. Greg in Dallas, Texas, how you doing today?
Pretty good.
Did you have tacos yesterday?
I did not.
I had three.
All right.
At 9 o'clock at night.
Nothing wrong with that.
Tacos are good anytime.
I've had tacos much later.
Have you? Well, yeah. You know, I guess if you go back to college days, I've eaten tacos at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I
see,
I guess
there we go.
See, there it is. Okay, well, let's just leave that conversation alone. You trapped me right into that one. Greg's like a spider, man. He's pulled me right in. I didn't even see that one coming. Greg, would you tell people? Spin your web. Tell people how they can watch the program in high definition. First hour only for the remainder of the week, guys, until the second channel is up and running. We've got a lot going on behind the scenes to get that second channel up. Yeah, it doesn't come easily, but we're working for you there. Greg, if you would be kind enough, tell people where to watch and participate and all that fun stuff.
Sure. If you want to watch the show, head on over to armedamericanradio.org or .com. You can see all the fancy bells and whistles over there. After you click the menu icon on the right-hand side of that website, that window will open up and you select that watch live option. You'll see the freshly wiped off camera lens as well as the chat that popped up afterwards. And if you are driving, well, we don't want you to do either one of those. Please don't be distracted and drive. Head on over to that Listen Live link. And if you've missed a previous episode, well, you can head on over to the podcast link. If you'd like to join our 207 members over in the Telegram chat, well, just head on over to your app store, grab the Telegram messaging app, create your profile, and search for Armed American Radio Conversations.
I got to get over to my little buttons over there. I can remember where everything
moved
is.
It too far, huh?
200. Yeah, I did. It's all out of the way. And, you know, I had a Zoom meeting with North American Arms today, and I couldn't get any of the cameras and everything tested fine, and they weren't able to hear me. So we had to go to guns. We had to go to phones. So, Greg, any conspiracy theories that you picked up on with the tanker hitting the bridge? Any more? I'm curious.
The theories are abundant. Now, whether any of them are credible is a whole different story.
Well, you're on talk radio all day long.
Yeah.
This is not your first rodeo today.
No.
What, Mr. Spider-Man, what is everybody, what are you hearing on other shows? I don't listen. I don't pay attention. Is anybody else talking about it? They have to be.
Well, there's some people that are mentioning the origin of the Shipmaster being Ukrainian, and then there are other people talking about potential cyber attacks. And then I see a lot of internet commentators that say a lot of things. Sometimes it's like, okay, that might be plausible. Others are like, you've never rode in a boat before, have you? And, you know, the others are, you know, straight, just all speculation. You know, everybody got their captain's license last night after the after the first conspiracy
like
hit the internet. And everybody's like, oh, I got to become a captain now. So here I can have my 2 cents. And it just, for me, a lot of it is, I don't think you guys know how ships work. I know there's a lot of things going on with this that I don't know about on how shipping and shipping channels and ports and stuff like that work. And I'll openly admit it, I'm just a boat diver. I don't know much about driving the ships or pulling them into harbor or anything like that. I didn't know typically there's a pilot boat, and where was that guy for this ship? But that's a whole other discussion. Maybe
well,
we can
that
have
ship as you talked about yesterday. You said, where's that guy for that ship? I don't know if he was there.
Yeah, he was
there. Had to be a pilot in there somewhere. I don't know, but tugs and all that stuff. Anyway, it's going to be interesting to see. Because yet again, ladies and gentlemen, just another example of what you can't believe coming from your government. We're not going to be able to believe
the fact that they jumped out ahead of it and said, you know, what they said, you know, so early on that this is not definitely an act of terrorism or anything like that. Okay, guys, sure.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll believe you because you're the FBI.
You've been so credible the past 3 years.
You're the FBI.
Yeah.
We'll believe everything you tell us.
Let's go to
Virginia. So I was a guest on WINA in Charlottesville today for a half hour. I had a really good conversation with those fine folks on the Rob Schilling Show.
All right.
Been on there many times in the past, and Rob is a good host. He asks some really good questions about the red flag laws and Harris's deal over there at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas.
Yep.
And I, you know, we talked about that briefly, but I had to pivot him. He's in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I was a little bit taken aback by that they didn't ask about what happened in Virginia yesterday. So I brought it up, and he was thrilled he did. He did want to go there, just didn't think we'd have enough time. But I gave him that out because Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin vetoed the Democrats' assault weapons ban yesterday afternoon. Ta-da! Along with a number of other Democrat-backed gun control bills, by the way. But the big one was the assault weapons ban. They're under attack in Virginia like nobody's business. And I'll tell you, Charlottesville is a very liberal town. You know, you got the UVA there.
Yep.
And all that. But the outskirts of rural anything in Virginia is as conservative as the day is long. It's bright red. You can simply look at an electoral college, you know, county by county map, if you want to break it down like an electoral map like that, and see that Virginia is bright red, save for, you know, Roanoke, Richmond, all of northern Virginia, which unfortunately carries a lot of the elections up there. It's like Manhattan for New York.
All the Richmond, north of Richmond are all liberals.
Richmond, north of Richmond, they are. And that's exactly what he was singing about. And, of course, Richmond. And then you've got the city, you know, Norfolk and all that. All the big Democrat-run cities. But the rest of the state is bright red. And they love their guns. We talked a little bit about VCDL. But the assault fire was an assault firearm ban is what they called it, an assault firearm. So what does that tell you about the Democrats? You know, they just make up names.
They are.
It also targeted, by the way, in Virginia, ladies and gentlemen, 9mm or 45s, quote, if said pistols can take a detachable magazine and have a threaded barrel. That means every single 9mm and 45, basically.
Every Glock.
Everything.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to go to Glock in just a second, too. Don't get ahead of me, Spider-Man.
My Spidey senses.
Yeah, your Spidey senses. Youngkin vetoed the assault weapons ban, and the Richmond Times-Dispatch quoted him saying in a statement, quote, and I quote from Richmond Times-Dispatch, the Constitution precludes the Commonwealth from prohibiting a broad category of firearms widely embraced for lawful purposes, such as self-defense. Despite this, certain members of the General Assembly have pursued legislation banning most contemporary semi-automatic firearms and specific ammunition feeding devices. So he nailed it with that. I mean, they literally wanted to go after. I guess they think you're stupid. But the one area where people are not stupid are firearms owners. They're not fooling anybody with this language. Assault firearms. Well, let's just word it this way and see if we can sneak it in. And we'll say any of those pistols, 45s, 9mm, and stuff, that can take a detachable magazine. Who are they talking to? They're talking to the masses of idiots who don't own guns and are simply pushing a political agenda that hear that and they go, oh, that sounds terrible. Meanwhile, firearms owners know that's every gun I have in my safe. Every single one of my 9mm or 45s or whatever I have, including 22s, look at Walther's, etc., can take a detachable magazine. They all have detachable magazines. And can all take a threaded barrel. They think you're stupid, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see. Let's go to a Democrat. Let's see what Senator Cree Deeds.
Well, Mark, real quick, I think they're using all this language because they're using language that is equivalent to their intelligence level. And that just seems to be offensive to us because we're not as dumb as they are. And that they think that we're this stupid and they can use this idiotic language and get away with it, that just assumes that they think that we're as dumb as they are.
Well, I think you're right, but I'm going to go a step further. I think they know how stupid their base is when it comes to firearms.
That
makes sense?
Yep.
So let's throw that in there, too. Let's just add that into the mix because they do know that a lot of their base is just going to toe the line.
I'm also waiting for someone to say that detachable magazines and threaded barrels are racist. Because clearly Pete Buttigieg said that that bridge was built and it was possible due to racism.
Okay, now you're going to get me off on that tangent, because I'm telling you right now, some idiot Democrat in Baltimore is going to suggest renaming that bridge.
Oh, it's
going to
happen, but I'm not talking about did you hear his little spiel about the bridge and racism?
I don't follow Booty Gig.
It's kind of hard to miss it. I'll share it with you during the break, and we can decide if we want to send it to the general public over the airwaves. Those in the chat,
you have the
tape.
You have the tape.
I've got it right here, readily available.
Oh, see, I know what's been going on in Talk World over at Salem Radio Network today for sure. Senator Cree Deeds, quote, wrung his hands and posted commentary on X as Youngkin was vetoing the anti-Second Amendment legislation, writing, and I take this to the break. News this afternoon that two more of my bills prospectively banning assault-style weapons and keeping guns off college campuses are being vetoed. Shameful and unthinking action. Of course, there are no problems in Virginia with assault-style bans and demonic possession of what millions of Virginians own lawfully. But why let the truth get in the way? I mean, why bother? Doesn't make any sense to do that, does it? And more evidence that Senator Cree Deeds in Virginia believes his constituents are stupid, and his base likely is. We'll be right back. The following segment of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back to the show. Yeah, welcome back to the show indeed. Let me take a sip of my sugar-free or zero-sugar Coca-Cola, because I couldn't do that over the last 4 minutes. That happens from time to time. So Greg played me some audio. Oh, and by the way, we're in the 6 Hour Studios, Patriot Mobile. Mike, you just heard the Patriot Mobile rejoin. Please, guys, head over there. Get information from them. PatriotMobile.com/AAR. And if you're ready to make the jump, it's real simple. Use the AAR promo code and get free activation right away. Support these businesses that support us and therefore support you through us and our right to bear arms. It's critical. It is absolutely imperative that we support these businesses. They go way out of their way to have you hear about them on Armed American Radio and support them. It's how the game is played. It's what we do. And of course, we're here in the 6 Hour Studio. It's all brought to you by X Insurance. So Greg actually played a tape from Pete Buttigieg that I had to ask if it was real. And Greg, you said this tape was what, from 48 hours old, 24 to 48 hours old? The guy actually said this is real, what you're going to hear?
Yeah, it's recent. It's real recent.
All right, let's play this moron.
Give me one sec. Let me cue it up here.
Cue it up. Here we go.
All right, I think here we go.
If an underpass was constructed such that a bus carrying mostly black and Puerto Rican kids to a beach, or that would have been, in New York, was designed too low for it to pass by, that obviously reflects racism that went into those design choices. I don't think we have anything to lose by confronting that simple reality, and I think we have everything to gain by acknowledging it and then dealing with it, which is why the Reconnecting Communities, that $1 billion, is something we want to get to work right away.
That's real?
Yeah.
All right. Now, what does this have to do with guns? Ladies and gentlemen, as I'm listening to that, I'm going to connect it right to gun rights. What party gave us Jim Crow gun laws in the South after the Civil War? Democrat Party. And it took 145 years for Republicans in the state of Georgia to get rid of those gun laws, handed to us by racist Democrats who didn't want armed blacks after the Civil War. In large part because they feared them, with good reason. And I got to be honest with you, you would have to believe, let's go back to racist gun control. Do you believe that there were Democrats that got together that said, we want to make sure blacks remain disarmed? Do you believe they had that conversation, Greg? Of course they did.
Yeah.
It's not conspiracy theory to believe that. That's why they created the laws. What Pete Buttigieg is telling you, ladies and gentlemen, is that somewhere out there is an engineering company that said, let's build this bridge low enough so that buses carrying black kids can't get to where they need to be. And, oh, we don't want them going to the white beaches, so let's just lower the bridge. Do you believe that conversation actually happened? Pete Buttigieg must believe that in order to say something as stupid as he just said.
Yeah, it's the dumbest thing I've heard in my life. One of.
It's up there. It ranks. But from the people who wiped out gun or instituted gun control to keep I mean, I could end the show on that. We could just play music for the next 40 minutes and you guys just ponder that. Maybe we'll just continually run that tape. There are people out there, Greg, that buy that. There are people, I guess MSDNC commentators and pundits fall into that, buy into that stuff. But these are the same people that won't tell you about the racist roots of gun control. They won't even talk about that. They won't admit it. But they'll go after that, won't they? I don't know. Am I shocked I heard it? No, not really. Good Lord. All right. The question of the day is, where is Sean Diddy Combs, guys? But we're not going to talk about that idiot. I saw it up on one of them. I don't know why. I just got an alert. Where is Sean Combs? Who cares? Well, his jet's in the Bahamas. That might be a clue. Eyewitness News, ABC 7. Driver is first suspect charged in deadly shooting of NYPD officer Jonathan Diller. Now, we never did get to this yesterday when we got into gun control because we got hooked up on Wyoming, right? Mm-hmm. Which I'm still looking into. I'm going to reach out to Paul Markle and talk to him a little bit about that because he lives in Wyoming. We got to get some details. But it looks like the first of two suspects has been charged in killing the killing of NYPD officer Jonathan Diller. Say his name. Jonathan Diller. During a traffic stop in Queens, he was 31 years old. He lived in Massapequa Park with his wife, Stephanie, and nearly one-year-old son who will never know his father, ever. Hmm. And here's the key. Both suspects, Greg, arrested, or one is arrested and the other one is, but both suspects have lengthy criminal records. Lindy Jones was driving the vehicle, and a loser beauty by the name of Guy Rivera, who's 34, the driver, I guess, was 41. Both of these moron beauties are old enough to know better. Guy Rivera, that beauty, is 34. He's a suspected gunman who pulled the trigger. Jones is charged with criminal possession of a weapon and possession of a defaced firearm. And here from ABC, this is why I went to ABC, .. meaning it was a ghost gun. Can't miss that opportunity, ABC, can they?
No.
You had a ghost gun.
They don't even know what a ghost gun is.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
ABC just couldn't help themselves and throw in it was a ghost gun instead of talking about the criminal in possession of a gun who had a rap sheet. Now, he's got over 21 arrests. So how about that's rewritten? Jones is charged with criminal possession of a weapon and possession of a defaced firearm who he should have never been in possession of it. In fact, he should have never been on the streets because he had had 21 previous arrests. Nope, ABC's got, don't say that. Just throw in the meaning it was a ghost gun. It's just what they do. It's just what the media does. Prosecutors highlighted his violent history and missing court dates in arguing for holding him without bail. Violent history and missing court dates, and prosecutors are highlighting that? They said he posed a flight risk and remanded Jones, so I guess he's got no bail. Why is he out on the street to begin with, prosecutors? Judge is Maria Gonzalez. She said he poses a flight risk. Let's see. The gun used by Rivera was found to have jammed after it fired the single shot that killed Officer Diller. I'm not going to comment on what kind of gun it probably was. But knowing these beauties, it probably limp-wristed it. Unbelievable. I said the believed suspects were casing a T-Mobile store on Mott Avenue. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the problem. This is why we talk about this. Explain to me why this guy is out on the street. That's the classic example of recidivism. Are we ever going to figure out, well, not you listeners, but are these Democrats in these Democrat-run cities going to figure out that if we keep these losers in prison, Jonathan Diller, the cop, with a not barely one-year-old son who will now never know his father, would have not had to worry about that, would have grown up knowing his father, because the system in Democrat-run cities failed him, his mom, the cop's wife, obviously, his family, and not just that, but the community in general. Good heavens, man. You have to start asking these questions, ladies and gentlemen. And I know Armed American Radio listeners do ask these questions, but at the same time, you have to go further. What are we going to do about these people who let these losers out to commit these violent acts and murder our cops? We'll be back right after this. Phil Toppino will be here.
Daniel Defense firearms are guaranteed for life, trusted worldwide, and designed, engineered, and manufactured right here in America. Daniel Defense, freedom, passion, precision.
Yeah, Daniel Defense is freedom, passion, and precision. I have a Daniel Defense rifle in the trunk of my vehicles. Did you know that, Greg?
I didn't.
Yes. I have lots of AR-15s.
I mean, I knew you had one. I just didn't know where it was.
I got a few of them, and I like them. I remember doing a piece on NBC in New York a few years ago. And it was a television piece, and the two hosts on their little couch were just shocked when I told them I had close to a dozen AR-15s. The female looked over it. They both looked at each other like, and then of course she belts out, "What do you need all those for?" To which I just calmly, coolly made her look stupid, but which isn't hard to do. Guys, before we go to our guest, we're talking about the cop in New York. I have audio from KJ, Corinne Jean Boxchecker here, and I want you to listen to this. Because this, you know, keep in mind you had Kamala Harris down at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Saturday last week, just a few days ago, what, 4 or 5 days ago, politicizing the deaths of those students. And here you have KJP, Chief Boxchecker, checker here in Washington. Take a listen to what she had to say about this officer being killed, and note what she doesn't say. Here you go.
The death of the officer. Look, our hearts go out to this officer who tragically lost his life in the line of duty. We're also praying for his family during this difficult time, who now has an empty seat at their dinner table. President Biden is deeply grateful for the sacrifices police officers make to keep our community safe. This shooting is yet another painful reminder of the toll of gun violence, that what it's doing to inflict on families and our communities and our nation. And that's why the president signed more than 24 executive actions. That's why we're able to pass a bipartisan agreement to deal with the gun violence that we're seeing in this country. Obviously, more work needs to be done. We need Congress to continue to act on making sure that our communities are safe. Again, our hearts go out to this officer and his family. It's a difficult time for them.
This officer has a name. His name is Jonathan Diller. This officer was murdered by a scumbag criminal with a 21 arrest rap sheet. She failed to mention that. And she failed to mention the officer's name. And what does she do? Immediately pivots to gun control. Because I guess in her box-checking mind, an individual that would murder a police officer with a firearm he shouldn't have had would somehow have gotten a background check. Ladies and gentlemen, these people think you're stupid. And I just wanted to play that for you so you know what it is they think. And maybe you heard it, maybe you didn't, but now you have. Let's go to Phil Toppino, WAFT, down in Florida. Philip, how are you today, my friend? I'm angry today. I'm telling you, brother, I'm angry. Angry Mark is just boiling to get out with some of this stuff. Welcome in.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Does that stuff bother you when you hear that?
Absolutely. The Second Amendment is part of the Constitution. You know, the Second Amendment is part of the Constitution. It's a fact. And at WAF, we're focused on real situations faced by everyday people. And this is, this is another good example of that.
Let's talk law enforcement here. You know, I'm on the subject of this New York cop. Do you train law enforcement officers? Do you have any law enforcement officers coming through your classes?
Yes, we have, and we also have a 501c3 that's set up for first responders, you know, spouses and their families, because when the good people are out doing what they need to do to protect the thin blue line to keep us safe, you know, who takes care of their families. You think of first responders, and they're out there, but a lot of times if their families aren't safe, they can't do their job. So we do our best to give back as much as possible. But yeah, our local SWAT teams and everything. The challenge is just we provide a custom learning experience. And a lot of times law enforcement is more reactive than proactive.
Right. See, you're ahead of me on this one. Your spidey senses are up like Greg's were earlier. Let's talk briefly about that while we're on this subject. How do you train them? It's scenario, because your training is scenario based. How do you structure scenario based training for law enforcement, because it is more reactive, as you just mentioned?
Correct.
Such a great point.
Correct.
How do you construct that differently than you would for me, for example, as a civilian?
Well, I'm a little outside the box. We can put situations, especially police officers, when they pull a traffic stop, for example. That is something that is highly likely to happen. And so looking for pre-fight indicators for them and then basically teaching them how to react faster. It's similar to civilians, but more for civilians, it's more general and vague. And to see something, most of the time it's nothing. For law enforcement, it's like, no, you could be using this tonight when you go out on shift. So, but we take a different approach. That's the fact that we allow a little more exploratory, that we allow the officer to react instead of setting it up and staging it. So we take a little bit of a different approach because that's what the private sector is good for.
Well, yeah, you know, it is. It really is. I'm glad you brought that up because, as you know, I've taken some. It's been simulator-based scenario, but it was as close as I could get to what you guys offer down there until I can get down there. But I can't wait to compare the two, because the simulator training that I took was intense. You know, it was a 360 degree deal. You know, it was not your average run of the mill simulator. It wasn't just a screen in front of you like you were hitting a golf ball or something. You know,
sure.
it was surrounding you, and it was intense training. I mean, I walked off that thing. I know my blood pressure was up, my heart rate was up, and it was quite interesting. So I can only imagine doing it, you know, in 3D with real human beings. But, you know, you bring up a good point. The average citizen like me, who is going to go to a Publix grocery store after the show or going to go out to dinner with my family tomorrow, whatever it may be, is not likely to run into a situation, but I'm prepared for it if I do. Meanwhile,
correct,
as you pointed out, that cop is going to get in that vehicle and make multiple traffic stops throughout the evening shift, maybe hours after he left you.
Correct.
So the reality there has got to be, I'm going to guess that the approach the officers take and the response that you see from them is probably completely a 180 from what you would get from me, right?
Correct.
I mean, correct,
well,
me
law
if I'm
enforcement,
wrong.
You know, they're putting themselves in harm's way, and it's very hard to come down from that to where we're civilians. We're training ourselves to, hey, listen, when I see something unusual, give it more attention. It's a completely different mindset, which is why officers, when they're getting ready to go on a shift, it's hard to turn it off. You know, so that's something that, you know, what you referenced. I would say video technology is getting better, but your body still knows. I mean, you can fake it, but you know, you're
I know
you
it's
elevated,
fake.
But there is no substitute for a live in person custom learning experience. But they've improved a lot, and it's something that we're going to be. You know, people have come to us because, again, we're kind of the tip of the spear on how it really happens. And so they're coming to us to better how to program them and things like that, because you're going through pre-staged. So, and that's the difference. So this is where the rubber meets the road. You're going through pre-staged scenarios. Okay. What we do at WAFT is we show you concepts and then how Mark responds on the first scenario completely dictates what we're showing you or what we want you to focus on the second scenario. So we might run it again in a different way because you haven't got it yet. We're not going to move on to the next thing. So we build a proper foundation so you can build a skyscraper. And it's custom. So you can have no experience or you can have a lot of experience, and we can have five people run multiple different experiences, and each one of them is going to get a custom learning experience. It's no one else is doing this and nothing else is like it.
All right. When we come back from the break, I want to dig into that a few minutes. You raise a couple really good points, and as someone who has taken a lot of training with a lot of professionals over the years, from Navy SEALs and SWAT instructors on down the line to NRA instructors, et cetera, I have a question for you relative to how your team would debrief. And I want to get specific about that because it fascinates me. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Philip Toppino, the founder of WAFT, and you can visit them, and we hope you do, and get some information. It's dangerous out there. Learn these techniques. If you can, definitely do. WAFT, WOFT.com. We'll be back with Philip, and I've got some pointed questions for him when we return right after this. Don't go away.
This segment of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is being brought to you by Daniel Defense. Visit DanielDefense.com. Now, back to the show.
Yes, back to the show indeed. Final segment of the first hour already, believe it or not. 6 hour studios lit up for you. Patriot Mobile Command and Control Center, Communication Center, Mic on Fire. X Insurance is presenting it all. Please go out of your way to visit all of our partners. You can find them all at ArmedAmericanRadio.com. Cutting Edge Firewood's one that I talk about a lot. They're making a delivery at the ranch on Friday here in just 2 days. Looking forward to that. We're getting some more of that white oak. You use that for fire pits. You can use it for, you know, I use it for cooking wood. But that will give me, I think, 2.5 racks. They're coming to pick up an empty rack. And I said, well, if you're bringing it empty, you're going to pick up the empty. Might as well bring a full one, too. So we're doing that. CuttingEdgeFirewood.com. If you like to smoke up your neighborhood like I do, there's nothing better. We've been cooking on that wood here at the ranch for years. Welcome back. Philip Toppino from WAFT down in Florida, WAFT.com. Philip, I'm glad we stopped in the previous segment when we did. I'm glad we were interrupted by the break. Normally I'm not, but I was in this case because I've got a question for you relative to debriefing. You tell me how this works, because I was interested in what you were talking about in the scenario base. So let's run through. You have a particular scenario that's live with real people, and I run through that scenario. What I heard you say was, based on my reaction, is how you'll handle round two. So do you guys debrief based on what you saw from me and then set it up after that? Or do you have particular scenarios based on the way someone would react that might be cookie cutter? How do you do that? It fascinates me.
Yeah, we have a custom learning experience. So nothing is cookie cutter. Everything is based on concepts, how you would apply them. So it allows us the broad spectrum that we can take someone who's a beginner, or we can take someone who is an expert, highly trained, because they're just going to apply those concepts differently. So the debrief would be, great job, Mark. You did this, this, and this right. I want you to focus on that. Go back out and come back in and do it again. And when you come out, like you're walking to your vehicle in a transitional space and a stranger approaches you, how you apply those concepts based on the tools you have. And then we basically teach you how to think critically and react faster under stress by reading pre-fight indicators. And it's something that, you know, we bring value, life-changing value to everyone that we train, because everyone wants safety with or without without a firearm. So it comes back to our flashlight curriculum that, you know, some of your sponsors, so you mentioned Daniel Defense, Sig Sauer, X Insurance, a lot of their executive teams have all trained with us. Mm-hmm. And it's a great team building exercise. And when it comes to team building, think of the family. The family is their own team. Mom, right. Dad, the kids are going off to college. So it's something that you learn collectively when you're going through this process. And when people that you know or care about can be with you, they're learning and they retain 600 to 700% more by watching you, because they remember it more because it's dad, right, right. Or that is, you know, your team leader.
That makes sense. Let me give you an example. These fascinate me because I love this type of training. One of the simulations I did, and the instructors told me, we're not going to tell you what's going to happen. We're just going to lay out what you're going to see. You are leaving an airport, walking back to your car at the top of a parking deck, and it's dark. And you're armed. Take mm-hmm. it away. And then the simulation starts. And as I'm walking, I see someone come out between my vehicle, which was on the left, in between two vehicles. They approach me, and I direct my attention towards that individual. And then all of a sudden, I've got someone behind me over my right shoulder that I didn't see at first. And I had to look at the eye contact from that person before I realized there was somebody else behind me. And I think the first scenario, I was killed. And then we go back and do it again. But the simulation itself doesn't change. So I knew, right. Like you were talking about, I knew that was going to happen, right? So sure. I changed my reaction based on what I knew was going to happen at that point in time. What I didn't know was that there was a third person. So that's the only change there was in that level of training. Ladies and gentlemen, I mentioned this to you because I want you to get this theater of the mind. We all go, I'm going to pick somebody up in an airport tomorrow. All right, I'm going to go out to dinner tomorrow night. It's going to be dark when we come out. So all these things are real. And these are all things that I should be thinking of. Do you, I guess the question I'm asking is, if I react, because here's what I took away from that, Philip. Now my head's on a swivel, bro. I'm not just looking at that one guy. I'm trying to keep, after I went through that, I carried that with me for years. I still have that with me.
Sure.
So it was very effective. You guys alter that in real life without simulation with real breathing, walking human beings. And then maybe there's two, maybe there's three the next time based on my original reaction, right?
Correct. It's everybody's different and everyone reacts differently. And you could put 100 people in the same scenario and they will react 100 different ways with 100 different variations. And in your specific, what you just referenced, the whole purpose is to make sure they're not an immediate imminent threat, any potential stranger, and then look for another plus one. So you make sure that they're not, and that's what a flashlight does and other tools and things that we teach you how to use, is to take away information from other people with light, and then it gives you more information, make sure they're not an immediate threat, and then scan plus one, looking for another, and then position yourself, movement, whether that's to stop, which is sometimes doing something altogether, which is stopping and not continuing to go where you're going, closing in the trap. And again, just it's something that can be really complicated, but we keep it really simple and fun.
All right. I want to reference something here. I forget the sheriff, and I'm going to try to pull it because I tweeted it out this morning. It was a fantastic article about a Florida sheriff. And here it is. Politically incorrect sheriff. And here we go. Politically incorrect sheriff tells citizens to shoot to kill home invaders to save taxpayers money. And it's Santa Rosa County, Florida Sheriff Bob Johnson touting Florida residents' rights under the state's Stand Your Ground law. And the reason I bring this up is because you have the sheriff saying, we want you to use force in your home. And if you kill him, that's one less criminal we have to deal with. You have a right to do that. It is legal in Florida. Do you teach scenarios like home invasions? You know, we had that very unfortunate incident in Arkansas where ATF kicked in the door on a no-knock warrant. This guy apparently thought his home was being invaded. He fired. ATF killed him. Now, let's assume it was a home invasion and not ATF. Do you teach that type of scenario? You're home. You're watching TV at 5 a.m. and your door gets kicked in. Are those scenarios something you go through?
Yeah. Home invasion, no doubt, it's a really important issue. And it's exactly what WAFT is really all about. It's about solutions to exposing things that could happen. And so you work that through your head and your mind that you're there and all of a sudden there's a bang on the door and it's like, where's your firearm? Where's your family? You know, and working through those situations. So the first time, we call it the what if game. You know, the first time you're approached with something similar to that, it's not your first time.
You know, I wish we had more time because that's a topic. A.W.R. Hawkins and I have told stories, happy ending. We refer to them as happy ending stories almost weekly on the program for many, many years. And one thing that's common is that individual homeowner who shoots. And it doesn't matter whether the attacker was wounded, killed, or fled, whatever. The attack stops. That's what's important. Sometimes the killer or sometimes the home invader is killed. Sometimes he's not. Sometimes he's wounded. Sometimes they flee and get in a car, whatever the case may be. But what I find fascinating about that is, Philip, obviously those people had firearms with them that they could react in a split second with a gun. They didn't have to get up and go get it. They had it. And I'm assuming you teach that the firearm needs to be there, right?
Absolutely. And we bring value. I mean, AW has been invited to WAFT and one day he'll make it down. But that's what we do. We can train anyone that's from highly trained to people who, are just getting started.
And well, I'm going to suggest that he and I go through that together. I would love to do that with you. So we'll make that happen. I'm looking forward to it. Philip WAFT, WOFT.com, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. It's fascinating stuff. Give them a look. Visit them online. Send them an email for some information, please. It's life-changing stuff. Philip, thanks for being here. Hour 2 continues right after this.
just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance
on the Armed American Radio Network.